I need thee every hour, most gracious God. No tender voice like thine can tease afar. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. glad. You alone can promote me, God. I come, I humble myself before you, oh God. For you to let me go, God. Bless me now, bless me now. I come, oh bless me now. I want you to bless me now because
I
don't want to live it for another day. I need you to bless me now. I don't want to go and come another day. I come to leave. I don't want anything to separate us. So I come to thee, regardless of what I've done, regardless of where I've been, God, I come to thee. I lay everything aside and I come to thee. I lay all things aside. I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you and welcome to the NFI Radio Gospel Network, your number one quartet and contemporary Christian station in the world. I'm your host, the Anointed One, and I'm going to be right here with you playing some of the very best in gospel music around the world, the old, the new, and all just for you. And we want to thank you so much for joining us. We have listeners all over the world, and I want to invite you to join us right here 7 days a week, Mondays through Sundays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can go to our website, that's NFIradio.com. Again, that's NFIradio.com, where you can listen to some of the very best music around the world, the old, the new, going back into Forest Sam Cooke, the Soul Stirrers, the Dixie Hummingbirds. We could go on and on. And contemporary artists like Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammett. I could continue to name on Ty Tribbett and many others. And we do have also contemporary Christian music where you can listen to right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network from 2 o'clock p.m. to 5 p.m. for the very best in contemporary Christian music. And we want to thank you again. We love all of you and all of the kind words you share to let us know that you're listening in, and you can see all of the information with these awesome men and women of God that come forth right here preaching and teaching the Word of God. We not only have music, but we also have the Word of God coming forth right here Mondays through Thursdays and on Sundays as well. So those of you, if you want to receive a word from the Lord, you can join us right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. This network is not a normal network. We are concerned about man and woman, soul and spirit, that we may compel them to come to Christ. We're not about competition or compromising. We're about doing the will of the Lord, and that is to win souls for the glory of God. He that winneth souls is wise. All right, well, look, I believe right now someone would love to go into a word of prayer this morning. So let's do that. Let's go into a word of prayer for those of you desire your prayer. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network, Raleigh, North Carolina, and DeKalb, Georgia. It's 20 minutes after the hour.
You know, everywhere I go, so many people ask me, Reverend, would you please pray for me? Well, let me remind you of something that might be helpful to you. While I pray for you, do me a favor and pray along with me. Our Father God, the Savior who made us all, we come in your name at this time, and I'd just like to say little on me, stop here to talk to you. While I'm talking, if you don't mind, Father, let me just say, thank you for letting me be able to stand in the studio in this year, 87. Oh, I'm so happy today that I can stand as a witness for you. And while being a witness, I just want to let you know how well you've been to me. And how good you watched over me, and how much you protected me. Through all of these years that I've been going and coming, to and fro, up and down this land and country, Sometime I had to ride by myself. Sometime I didn't have a friend to talk with. Sometime I was lonely, but you, being such a good girl, every time I would get lonely, you would come along with me. I could hear your voice talking to me, and that much I want to say thank you for. Because I'm such an out.
I was lost in my own world, feeling really confused. Didn't care about anything, I felt so abused. One day I looked up to where my help comes from. Told the Lord about my problem, but it was already done. He cares.
Holiness Church NFI radio broadcast. We believe in God-powered preaching, sound doctrine teaching, and hallelujah praise. Join us with an open heart and a listening ear, and let a friend know we are on the air. Please pray for Overseer William Eli Ratcliffe as he gives us a divine word from heaven. Now, Pastor Ratcliffe.
It will not intercede in my life. It will not transfer blessings to me. It will not block me from Satan's curses. It will do nothing. Let us speak the Rhema word. And here's the definition that I have for Rhema. All right, by definition, it says, bear with me, the Rhema word, by definition, that which is or has been uttered by the living voice, being spoken the word. In other words, if we don't take God's word and speak it into existence, we have no Rhema. Everything we read on this declaration is nothing but words. God says in his word, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So I profess to you that if you want to see God's blessing, speak it and believe it. God is not slack for his promises. God will always return unto his word, and his word will never return unto him void. I believe and trust in God, and I pray that we all have one accord where that's concerned. Thank you. Trust God. You can't beat God's giving.
Those that are listed for the offering today, will you please come up? Alphonse, the camera, not here. Church and Shimmer, not here. Jacob and Deke. Mother McCall. First Lady Sharon Ratcliffe. Sister Elvis. Sister Elvis, Ratcliffe. And Sister Charlie.
At this time, we're going to ask for the announcement. For announcements, we want to announce that on, we will have our fall festival on Tuesday, 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, or is that 5 on here? Six o'clock. We have Tuesday, October 31st. All the youth are invited. So we're asking that, for all the adults to please donate candy for the kids. And I'm going to say to you, like Elder Hunter said, you know what kind of candy you like. So that's what kind of candy we want you to buy for the kids.
Good morning. So we all know that Christmas is on the way, so time to get started for our Christmas celebration. This year it will be on December 17th, 11 o'clock. So I need all kids, parents, grandparents, or if you just know a kid that may want to be a part of our performance, we want all of them to come out October 28th, 1 o'clock, okay? That will be our first rehearsal, probably go from 1 to 3. Lunch will be provided. After lunch, we're just going to have a little meet and greet so everyone can get to know each other, and then we'll go right into our rehearsal, start giving out parts. So, again, parents, grandparents, October 28th, 1 o'clock will be our first rehearsal. If there is a child that you know that can't make it on the 28th, no worries. Just let me know. See me at the church. I'm happy to give out my number, and I will make sure they get the information. If there's a child that needs a ride, parent may be working and can't bring them, let me know. See me. Get my phone number. I'm happy to pick up. Rehearsal's at 1. Don't call at 12. Call me early, early in the morning, okay? Friday night, give me time to prepare to get you here, to get your child here for this performance. We want all kids, so whatever age, it doesn't matter. Come out and be a part. We know our kids always give a wonderful, wonderful performance, and I've got something special planned this year as well, so come out and be a part of it. Also, Secret Santa's coming back. So Secret Santa will be a part of this year's performance. So once I compile my list, I'll be coming to you, asking for volunteers to support our kids so we can show them how much we love them. All right, thank you.
I'm Frankie with You Can Vote, a nonpartisan organization sharing important voting information with you. In North Carolina, they passed the voter ID law. If you do not have one of the IDs, you can still vote. You have to ask for an exception form. A lot of people don't know felons can vote in North Carolina. They must be complete with their time of their felony sentence, off probation, off parole, but they can register and vote. Look yourself up if you're already registered. Click on your name. Go to the sample ballot. Pull your ballot to do your research. In North Carolina, we want every eligible voter to vote. Local elections are more important than the presidential elections. Please drag your family and friends to go vote. Your voice matters. Your vote matters. Thank you for being a North Carolina voter.
At this time, we're going to ask our brother Deron Moss to come with the youth call to worship. You are, amen.
If I had more time, I was going to make y'all go back and have some candy for the most excited child to come up, but I didn't warn y'all. This is my first one in a long time, so I'm not going to do that. Y'all come on up. Come on up. All right. Good to see everybody this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I need y'all's help. I asked a child, I'm going to say any names, how school was, and they said, bro, it was mid, bro. Now, I had no idea what that meant. So can somebody please explain to me what mid means, or bro, it was mid, bro. You know? You know what bro means? You know? Go ahead, Bubba. What does mid mean? It means it was all right. Is he correct? It means it was okay. what do y'all think about these shoes? If I would y'all wear these shoes at school, or y'all would say these were these shoes I got on a mid. Okay, so do I. Yeah, these shoes are definitely mid, bro. Well, we have as adults have a word for mid, and it's mediocre. Mediocre. Mediocrity. Does anybody know what mediocrity means? It means exactly the same thing as mid. Basically, it means average or slightly below average, low amount of effort, or doing the minimum. Now, the series of when I come up here from going forward, we're going to talk about mediocrity because a lot of ways not to be mediocre. The question I have for you is, do you all want to be mediocre? No? The answer is no. We're going to help her out. The answer is no, we don't want to be mediocre. Do we want mediocre friends? We don't want mediocre friends. Why not? It's mid, bro. Exactly. We don't want mediocre friends, and we don't want to be mediocre friends. Do we want mediocre parents?
No.
Because all we have to do as parents, all we're obligated to do is give you food and clothes on your back. We really don't have to do any more, but all of our parents, I'm pretty sure if we tell the truth, do way more. They go above and beyond. They're the opposite of mediocre, which is, there's a lot of words for it, but the opposite of mediocre is extraordinary. And what I want you guys to do is strive in life not to be mediocre, to be extraordinary. Now, I'm not going to just tell you guys to do it. I'm going to help you because I'm trying to not be mediocre myself. There's several things we can do to not be mediocre. One being, we can surround ourselves with non-mediocre people. One meaning we could constantly strive to make ourselves better, right? I'll tell you one thing is true about everybody in here. Parents in here do not want mediocre kids. That's why we parent. I mean, if you break it down, the only reason we teach y'all anything is that we don't want you to be mediocre. We want you to strive with your blessings to do the best you can possibly do. So the very first, my opinion, what I learned a poem in college, it was called Excuses. The very first step to not be mediocre, and everybody should learn this because it's made me an extremely happy person, is when I stopped using excuses. Excuses are the worst tool, worst in my opinion, and I know you hate this word, but to me, excuses in some ways are worse than lying. Sorry, Mike. The reason is because excuses are true. My wife asked me to wash the shower yesterday. She said, "Will you wash the shower today?" I said, "Yes." I got a shower today, and it wasn't washed. It was dirty as it was yesterday. Now, I'm thinking to myself, I was like, okay, I have an excuse, which is true. She said yesterday she didn't see the comment in the bathroom. I could use that as an excuse. I could also say I forgot. It's true, definitely an excuse, right? But I decided I'm not going to use excuses. Takara, I'm sorry. I did not wash the shower yesterday. I'm going to take accountability for that. My bad. Okay? I will clean it today. It will never happen again. That's how you go from same thing. Shower's still dirty. But my character, I didn't use a felonious excuse. I owned up to it. Instead of being mediocre, I'm going to do better and make sure I improve myself, strive for excellence, okay? So what you're seeing up here today, and I want you guys to learn this because the next time I come up here, one, we're all going to run up here a whole lot more excited, okay? And I'm going to give you an incentive to do so. But my first incentive is this. Everybody look up here. I learned this poem in college, okay? Let's read it together. You ready? Excuses. Excuses are tools of incompetence, used to build monuments to nothingness, and those who specialize in them seldom amount to anything else. Meaning, if you use excuses, you're basically going to seldom be successful. So don't use excuses. This poem has gotten me jobs. This mentality has kept me jobs, and it will do you. Nobody wants mediocre workers. Nobody wants mediocre students. Nobody wants mediocre kids. So we're going to not be mediocre. We'll learn. But for you, I have one of these in my pocket for everybody. Now, next Sunday, Anybody that can come up here and recite this poem from memory is going to get $10. Now, I'm not going to have an excuse. I'm not going to be mid and mediocre and forget. I'm going to have the $10 for you. But you have to come up here before church starts and say this poem from memory. Now, also, one of the dollars you have to give in the offering as well. Okay? $10. It's very important. Now, I want to extend this to the parents because it's, we all know that we all have our own type of excuses. You want one? Here you go. You good? You got one? Okay. You see any other kids that come in later, make sure they get one because I want everybody to have the opportunity to get the $10. All right? This poem is very important to me, and we're all going to grow together and not be mediocre. All right? We got Bible verses? All right, we'll start with it.
I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace hasn't been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others, that is. It wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11.
Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were sixth day.
Thank you, Bert. Oh, okay.
This is my money. You didn't let me. He would make my mom kiss.
All right. Let's give our youth a big hand. Weren't they beautiful today? Amen, amen. just happy for the youth. I think they used to say, what, once an adult, twice a child or something like that, and at a certain age they say you a child. But that $10 next Sunday, I'll humble myself. Amen, amen. But Reverend Evan, how are you? Yeah, but at this time, will the male course please grace us with one more song? After that song, from the male course, I want to introduce, present to you this morning our speaker that we are blessed to have this morning. He's a hard-working man, too. He say that Pastor is a hard worker. He's also a hard worker, man, in the ministry, around the church, and whatever he's asked to do. He does it with great joy, and he shows a lot of love for a whole lot of people around here. And I could go on and on and on because I've been knowing him a long time. And but we will be graced and blessed with Elder Demetrius Hunter delivering the message today. He's not all right. So after the male course selection, we will be blessed with none other than Elder Demetrius Hunter. Let's give him a round of applause.
Oh, my way home. Yeah. Oh, my way home. Way home. I'm depending on it. Lord. Hey, on my way home. Yeah, yeah. On my way home. On my way home. I depend on it. See, Lord. Hey, I have to cry sometimes. I have to cry sometimes. Sometimes crying with tears all in my eyes. Hey, I'm depending on it. Please, Lord. Hey, speak to Jesus. Speak to Jesus. I know you, babe. You've got all power. I know you, babe. You're for me right now. I know you, able. You're for me right now. Go to the hospital. Somebody lay there. Racked with pain. One touch from you, Lord. We'll make it all right. Fix my mind. Fix my heart. Anybody need a big man? Do it for me right now. I know you able. On my way home. Yeah. On my way home. On my way home, Lord. I'm depending on you. Hey, yeah. Anybody need a big fix? You're above me right now. I know you're able. I know you're able. Anybody need a big fix? You're above me right now. Fix my mind. Fix my heart. Anybody need a big fix? Anybody need a big fix? You're above me right now. I know you're able. I know you're able. Anybody need a big man? You're for me right now. Know you're able. You're for me right now. On my way home. Yeah. On my way home. On my way home. Lord,
yeah, yeah. Amen, amen. We give an honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's first in our life, to our illustrious overseer and pastor, overseer William Eli Ratcliffe, to the ministerial staff, deacons, saints, and friends. Those of you that have your Bibles, we're going to move right along. You can find me in the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 34, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The book of Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 34, and I'm going to be reading the King James Version in your hearing. The book of Mark, verse 5, 25 through 34, and the Bible reads as this: And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, seest thou, seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. Amen. For a subject today, I dare you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's my deliverance. It's my deliverance. I want to deal today with the subject of deliverance. And this subject, I say, fits us all. Whether you are saved, whether you feel like you're unsaved, whether you feel like you're thinking about being saved, whether you think about you want to be saved at some point, deliverance is something that we all have to deal with. I've heard this so many times before, and I want to address this subject real quick before we dive in. I only got 2 points today. And dive into my 2 points. I heard this saying a lot. When I get myself together, I'm going to come to church. When I get myself together, I'm going to come to church. I stop by here to tell you the next person that you hear say when you get yourself together, you come to church. Tell them there's no way that you can get yourself together enough to come to church. My Bible says that he wants those that are heavy burdened and laden, and he'll give them rest. Getting yourself together, you can't do that. Why? Because no man can get his own self together. If you understand what God did on that hill called Calvary, you understand you can't get yourself together. It's impossible for you to fix yourself up to be worthy enough. It's impossible for you to fix yourself up. And I say that to say this. Even in the church, we believe that same thing. That's why we look at people crazy when they come in a certain kind of way. We look at people and say, they ought to know better than to dress like that. We look at people, they ought to know better than to do that way. But if we are really trying to get people to understand who God is, guess what? Somebody going to come in church any kind of way. Somebody going to come through the doors looking like any kind of thing. Why? Because they're coming to the place to get themselves together. It's funny how we like to put saved attributes on unsaved people. We like to, for unsaved people to act saved. That's how they never get salvation. You don't let sinners be sinners. The shock value in the church is amazing. I call it spiritual amnesia. Sometimes you get saved so long, you forget how it feels to not be saved. You've been making money so long, you forget how it feels to be broke. You've been feeling good so long in your body, you forgot how it felt to be sick. You've been sober so long, you forgot how it felt to be drunk. But guess what? Sometimes you got to remind yourself, God fixed me up this way. I didn't get here by osmosis. I didn't come. I know some of us was born and raised here, and it seemed like we had suits from birth. But guess what? Every time you didn't feel like dressing up, come to church. We have to understand that deliverance has to happen for everybody. But one of the problems that we have, and I want to talk about this, one of the problems that we have, we never take ownership of our deliverance. Deliverance is something that God provides to people who want it. But I only have 2 points. And my first point is, in order for you to want deliverance, you got to recognize, I got a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got a problem. Now, the Bible says this woman with the issue of blood said she had went to a bunch of doctors trying to fix her problem. Now, this woman won't sit around and think she had no problem. She knew she had a problem. She went to one doctor, the Bible says she even spent all she had. She had a problem so bad she went broke trying to fix it. See, sometimes you can't get deliverance because you don't recognize you got a problem. You're comfortable with your attitude, so you don't want God to fix it. You're comfortable with the way that you think, so you don't want God to mess with it. You're comfortable with the attitude that you have, so you don't want God. This woman understood, look, I can't keep living like this. Somebody said, I'm tired of being sick and tired. Somebody said, I'm tired of feeling like this. The enemy wants to trick you to being comfortable with what God has not called you to be. See, you know, we preach about grace. And the greatest thing about grace and mercy is it's everlasting. But the one thing you got to understand about grace and mercy, you always need it. When you understand you always need grace and mercy, you understand I always got to work on that stuff on the inside. If we are transparent, some of us are still holding on to stuff that happened when we was babies. You still got an attitude about stuff when you were still carrying a bottle. You still got attitudes about stuff that wasn't even your fault. Your mom and daddy did something out of necessity, and you got the right, and you got the nerve to be 40 or 50 feeling the way about it. But you got to understand I got a problem. But you understand I got a problem, see, in the secular world. If I could get, I believe it would be Trustee Jones. You got to recognize you got an issue. And that one of the 12 steps, Trustee. You got to recognize you got an issue. Telling somebody that's an alcoholic don't think the drinking is bad, he ain't studying about getting sober. You got to recognize you got a problem. Some of us attitude-aholicness need to, guess what, realize we got a problem. That's why we can't even control our face sometimes. We have to have a problem. What I have to understand is the devil likes to keep you in cycles of craziness. Why? Because if he can keep you in the cycle, he can keep you from making progress. Now, I didn't talk about this with Brother Teron, but he was doing so much of my mess, I was like, man, you got the team. And he was talking about mediocreness, and I was going to say being complacent. See, sometimes we get so comfortable with certain stuff, we find ourselves in dangerous situations. It reminds me of a story about a little girl and her pet snake. And that little girl loved her pet snake, let the pet snake sleep with her in the bed. And that snake was cuddled up beside her. And one day the snake stopped eating. And the little girl was worried. Said, why my snake ain't eating? And when the snake used to curl up beside her and make her feel good, the snake kept stretching out and wouldn't get next to her. She said, what's wrong with my snake? I can't feed my snake. My snake don't want to be beside me no more. So she took the snake to the vet, and the vet said, girl, you better find you a pen for that snake. And the little girl said, why do I need to find a pen for my snake? She said, the snake stopped eating and it was stretching itself out because the snake was about to eat you whole. The snake was fasting so he could have enough room to swallow you up. And that's how we are with our problems. We want our problems so next to us. We want our problems all the way around us. And guess what? All that problem is doing is expanding itself. It's stretching itself. And one day the devil wants to eat you whole. But we come complacent with those things. It's okay. I'm going to be all right. It's okay. You got problems too. It's okay. I'm going to. No! You got to recognize that you got a problem. So this woman, recognizing that she has a problem, she was astute enough to find the solution for her problem. The Bible says that she heard Jesus was coming by. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. The Bible didn't say she talked to him. The Bible didn't say she talked to her sister about him. The Bible didn't say that she got on the telephone. The Bible didn't say she Googled him. The Bible didn't say that she looked him up on Bing. The Bible didn't say that she researched his Facebook page. The Bible didn't say she followed him on Instagram. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. So she was in such a dire state that she heard that there might be an answer to my problem. There might be something I can do about my situation. There might be something. And so I'm about to give you my second point, but I want to make this point real quick because some of us don't see ourselves. See, this woman with this issue had a problem. Why? Because in the Bible days, a woman that bleeds is nasty. So guess what she did? She found herself by herself. She was in position not to be around people. And guess what? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get comfortable in isolation. See, sometimes our problems isolate us, and we think everybody else is the problem. We think everybody on the job don't like you. Everybody in the church don't like you. Everybody in the street don't like you. And you think it's everybody else's problem. What happened was she was isolated from everybody, and she understood, I don't deserve to keep living like this. Woo! My God, my God, my God. Stop saying that you're doing, I can do bad by myself. And yes, that's what you're doing, doing bad by yourself. Always tell her what you don't need. I don't need. Yeah, come on here. You need somebody sometimes. You need somebody sometimes. Remind me of a young lady kept talking about what she didn't need. Until she came outside, it was another young lady where I don't need him. I don't. Then she had a flat tire. She needed somebody. But she was isolated. But she heard about Jesus. And this is my second point. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's the touch. This woman was so in dire straits when she heard about Jesus. She did not wait for Jesus to recognize her. But what she did, she recognized Jesus. See, sometimes you're sitting in these pews waiting for Jesus to recognize you. And Jesus said, if you will recognize me, I can do something in your life. Some of us come in and Sunday out, waiting for the pastor to recognize you, waiting for the preacher to call you out, waiting for somebody to come bring you forth. And God is saying, if you understood who I was, if you could just recognize me for who I am. So she recognized who Jesus was. And the Bible says, you know, we always talk about she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says she came to herself and said, but if I could just touch his clothes, I know I will be made whole. And I've said this thing to you before, if you really go research it, in those days, Jesus was a Hebrew. And a Hebrew man had to have a prayer cloth. And one of those, they call them talis, is a prayer cloth. And the prayer cloth was long. It's like a big, long scarf. And it would reach down, and some of them would drag to the floor. And on the bottom of those prayer cloths, they would have these little tassels. See, in the Hebrew, early Hebrew language, the numbers and words was almost interchangeable. So depending on the number, it would be what? The word. And so the number of the tassels on the bottom of the tali represented Yahweh. It represented God. See, I want you to understand something. Many people felt like the woman was just on her belly because she felt bad. She wasn't on her belly because she felt bad. She was reaching for the God that she saw. She said, if I could just touch God, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't get down on her stomach because she was feeling low. She got down on her stomach to touch what she was aiming at. See, some of you don't want God to touch you because you don't want to be in position for God to do something to you. If she had pride, she would have never got healed. Because guess what she would have done, like we would have done? Try to do it sneakily. She would have been worried about her clothes. She touch them. She would have been real slick. Touch them. But what she did say, it don't matter how I look. She didn't worry about what people were going to post about her. She didn't worry about how she was going to look. She said, if I got to get down on my belly, I've been in this place way too long. If I got to crawl on my knees, I've been in this place way too long. If I got to look crazy, I've been in this position way too long. If I got to look at you in your face, and I got to tell you that my God said, I don't have to live this way anymore. I'm not designed to feel this way anymore. I'm not built for this. I got to get to God. And the Bible says she touched him. Woo! She touched him. And what I like about it, the Bible paints a good picture. Everybody was touching him, but she touched him. The crowd felt him, but she touched him. See, sometimes you got to get yourself in a position where it's different and it's my deliverance. So Why you say you got to be different? Because it's your deliverance. You must understand. Then guess what? While I'm in worship here with you, I'm not here for you. I might be in worship with you, but I'm not here for you. What we end up doing is we like to play copycat. You know, we done it. Even in the pulpit, we play copycat. Sunday, congregation Sunday, pastor preached so hard, he kicked that leg up, he turned around. Guess what? I was tempted the next time I preached, I was going to kick my leg up and turn around. You sit in church and you say, I got to get the Holy Ghost like that mother got it. And you posture yourself like her. You find yourself going shopping looking like her. You find yourself trying to get the same shoes she got. And guess what? You ain't got not one bit of Holy Ghost she got. Why? Because you're trying to be copycat. That woman could have been like everybody else. She could have been doing what everybody else did. But she said, this is my deliverance. If she don't go home the same way that she came, that's her business. I got to get mine. I wish I had about two people say, I've been in a place where I couldn't worry about if you got yours yet. I couldn't worry about how you praised him. I couldn't worry about how you touched him. I had to touch him for myself. I was in a position where your Holy Ghost could not help me. Your prayers could not help me. I had to touch him for myself. So the Bible says that Jesus asked a confusing question. He said, who touched him? And his disciples, his homeboys, his ace fool coons, turn around, spin around, so, what you talking about, you? You see all these people around here talking about who touched you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me in a way I ain't been touched before. You have to understand that you can touch God, and you can touch him in a way that he's never been touched before, because your issue is your issue. And the Bible says that he declared, and he looked at the woman as she fell to his feet and told her testimony. The Bible said a profound statement, and I won't try to grab it. That's why I said it's my deliverance. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Jesus didn't even give himself the credit. He gave the credit to her faith. That's why the Bible says the faith the size of a mustard seed. You can look at this mountain and say, this mountain, you got to move out of my way. Sometimes it's about your deliverance. It's not about the world. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the deacon board. It's not about the trustees. It's not about your mama. It's not about your daddy. It's not about your sister. It's not about your brother. It's not about your cousin. It's not about your friends. But it's about me. Because what we like to do, we like to assign the excuse to somebody else. Ooh. Ooh. We like to assign the excuse to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you like this. I wouldn't keep coming to a hospital that would never fix my problem. And see, some of y'all keep coming to the same hospital doing the same stuff, and you're just as sick as you was the first time you came. I've been there before. I went to a hospital one time, and I was feeling sick in my body. And I went to the urgent care, and the urgent care tried to give me some Tylenol. And you know what I said? You crazy. I've been popping the same Tylenol all week long. So guess what I did? I drove, and I picked up somebody. I said, you got to ride with me. Why? Because I got to get somewhere that's going to do something about my pain. Some of y'all been coming into the same place, doing the same thing, leaving out the same way. And what God is saying, if you take it personal, you're going to do something different. If you take it personal, you're going to change some things. So I went, left that urgent care, and I went down there to the wait man. And I was so sick and tired. That woman said, get him a stretcher before he falls. And I got the help that I need. Why? Because I was not satisfied being in pain anymore. So as I go to my clothes, are you satisfied with where you are? See, I said, are you satisfied with where you are? That ain't saying that you around here comparing yourself to somebody else. You know, we use that excuse not to get delivered. At least I ain't such and such. And such and such is going to make it to heaven before you do. At least I ain't. No, are you satisfied with where you are? Because guess what? God ain't going to take into account. He's our pastor. And God ain't going to take into account what he did or didn't do when you get to the gates. He's going to take into account how bad do you want it? How bad do you want him? That woman understood after she done been to every doctor that she could that it was up to her to fix her situation. And then Jesus came back and gave her confirmation. It was your faith that made you whole. It's about my deliverance. How bad do you want it? Because guess what? I might don't drink. But guess what? Grace and mercy is so good that the drunkard can say a prayer and get to heaven before you do. See, y'all didn't get that. I don't smoke. But guess what? The smoker can say a prayer and get to heaven before you do. Because guess what? He holds me accountable for what that person that you're looking down on may have had no mama. That person you're looking down on may have circumstances. And God understood how bad do you want your deliverance. But God said, come, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He says, how bad do you want your deliverance? Pray my strength in the Lord.
Give God a hand for his word. Oh, from the beginning of the service, we've begun holding presiding all the way from the youth call to the sermon. We heard something that can help us to be better as we represent Christ for what he's done for us. Let's give God a hand. Deliverance. That's something that we all, not only do we have, we gotten deliverance, but there are still other things that we need to be delivered from. Is that right? Issues. The lady had issues, but she needed deliverance. Youth call, mediocre, and excuses. Some people say, and they call me the hardest working man, pastor, you know one reason why I have to work hard? And the reason why really all pastors should have to work hard. Because people going to have issues that they need to be delivered from. And not only that, they're going to have excuses. I don't want Lincoln Park to be mediocre. I don't want it to look mediocre. That's why I work to make a difference. And I'm glad that I have members here that work with me to help make it that difference, that we can be like a city atop a hill that cannot be hid. It's not about me, but it's about what we do for the Lord. How many of you want to do your best to help God, what we represent, look and be its best? There's nothing mediocre about me. That's why sometimes some people have a problem working with me, because I'm not going to go for substandard anything. I don't care if it's a blade of grass out there in the lawn. If it's not right, I'm gonna do something to straighten it out. Mediocrity. Remember that quote that Brother Morris gave us. It can lead to nothingness. But if you want to do something, you do your best. God will take care of the rest. Well, we got a lot of words of wisdom today to help us grow and reach the potential what God has called us to be.
Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for this. Don't say, well, I did the best. You don't know what the best you can do until you stretch and go beyond what you can do. Then and only then are you going to know what it is to go to another level. Let's give Elder Hunter and the youth a call in. At this time, we ask everyone to stand. Did there be one that desire to accept the Lord Jesus? God made you. He knows who you are. Everything that God made is good. I didn't say poor. I didn't say fair. But everything he made is good. He can make good men great. He can make good men and women better, to the point that they go from good to better to great and on beyond. Is there one today that desires to accept the Lord Jesus as Christ? Tap into that salvation that he has for us. I'm going to ask Elder Hunter to come, if there be one. That's in the stem. Just come and give him your hand and say, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be a Christian. I confess my sins. I believe that Jesus died. I admit my sins. I believe he died. I confess my sins. I admit I want to be saved. Is there one? If not, we open the doors of the church. If there be one that desire to join on the Christian Experience, Watch Care, full membership, the doors of the church are open. And if they desire to unite with Lincoln Paul Holiness Church, 13 Heath Street, where we believe in God-powered preaching, sound doctrine teaching, compassionate reaching, and hallelujah praise. Is there one? If not, we're going to ask Deacon Joseph Bellamy to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you one more time. We just want to say this afternoon, thank you, Father, just for another day. Thank you, Father, for letting us lie down all night long.
Yes, God.
And let us rise again, still in our right mind. Thank you, Father, for coming out to your place one more time to give you praise, to magnify, to glorify your name, to tell the world that you are able to keep us from falling. You're able to just repent of our sin. We ask them to come before you. If you call on me, if you need me, call on me. Father, we are calling. That you bless us today, each and every day. Bless the one not only here as they come, Father, but the ones that are there in the world who don't even know about you, who don't even care, who, Father, don't even want to work to take care of themselves. Father, this afternoon we say, have mercy. We say, have mercy, Lord, because it's you, your mercy, and your grace. That's what's going to get us home. We can't do nothing out here all by ourselves. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. Hold us, Father. Hold us in the palm of your hand. Lead us, oh, God, the way that we should go. That when we fall, lift us up, turn us around, place our feet on solid ground. Mercy, Lord. Bless your children, even in these times. Bless us here, Father, in our church. And bless the ones that here are not in our church. Blessed be the name of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, keep us in your word.
Oh, yeah.
Keep us, Father, that day by day and time after time, that we never forget to pray, always, morning, noon, and night. And, Father, we thank you for your word.
Mm.
And we thank you for your blessing. And we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for being our God and our God alone. These and other words, we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And remain standing. I want to thank you all for a wonderful pastoral anniversary and all the things that you did for me and First Lady, all of the food, all of the great decorations and everything that was done, the cards and all. I thank you all. And we ask you to continue to pray for us as we move towards 2024. How many of you are praying that we continue to do better? Glory to God. So at this time, we're going to be dismissed. We're going to ask Elder Hunter to dismiss us.
Amen. And most firm believer, we all came here together, and we've been dismissed by these words, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight, O Lord, our strength and my redeemer.
Lincoln Park Holiness Church is about loving people and helping community. Our main objective is winning souls. You are welcome to partner with us or help sponsor this ministry and broadcast with a donation. Please visit our website at lincolnparkchurch.com and click the Let's Give tab at the top of the screen. Feel free to leave comments. You can also download the Givelify app on your mobile phone and look for Lincoln Park Church. Cash App, #, Lincoln Park, CRF. We are located at 13 Heath Street in Raleigh, North Carolina. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us next week on NFI Radio and Catch the Wave from the number one radio station reaching the world with gospel music and preaching.
I was lost in my own world, feeling really confused. Didn't care about anything, I felt so abused. One day I looked up to where my help comes from. Told the Lord about my problems, but it was already done. He cares, cares for me. You'll never
let me
down. Long as I know I got a moment's time,
I will
make you come home. Ain't no doubt in my mind, I know I will. Yeah, no, make no you
come.
Now I can be a witness to what my God can do. Everything he did for me, he will do it for you. Just ask him for deliverance from all of your cares. He's never too busy.
time to call. You got to run on a little bit long. Got to keep running. Keep on running, girl. If you want to make a hundred, just keep on running. You got to run every day. If you want to make a hundred.
Jesus is coming back, he's on his way. gonna walk around heaven all day long. I'll be looking for Jesus.
How many people we got here can say you're a child of God? Come on, clap your hands. Come on, clap your hands. Y'all ain't clapping, clapping your hands. Clap, clap your hands. Whoa.
Holy Ghost.
anointing is a powerful thing. The glory of God rests upon us sometimes. Take us out of our character. Our personalities change. Everything changes about us when the anointing comes upon us. Listen.
When I step under the anointing, I change. May look like I just finished crying, and then again you may see me, and it looks like I just have a lot of trouble on my mind. When I step under the anointing of the Lord, all the things that's troubling me go away, because can't I see? When I step under the anointing, I know I change. Oh yes, I do. Hallelujah, the day long. I change. You a great God. Why did you be praised for this kingdom? Now when you step under the anointing of the Lord, admittedly, things that's troubling you, they all go away. And all of a sudden, you are a brand new person. Have your mind changed, your heart changed. Because the Spirit of the Lord is a power from on high. Because can I be talking about here. You see, when the anointing of the Lord comes upon you, you're not the same person. It's just like fire shut up in your spirit, and your soul gets on fire, and all of a sudden your hands go up, your eyes fill up with water, and your heart begin to beat real fast. Ain't nobody but Jesus that can make me feel this way. Nobody but Jesus that can make me feel this way.
I'm a stranger, that's the truth. Do you wanna go to heaven? When you lay your burden down, when I lay my burden down, I'm gonna hope to get my crown. I wanted to cry no more. I won't be lying on no more. I'm going home, y'all.
Anointed one.
What he done for us. They hung him high on the cross at Calvary. They
love for you and I. He didn't do it all.
whipped him all night long. Oh, yes, they did. I'm glad to die that we might have a way to the tree of life. Can I get a witness in here? Yeah. Anybody know, oh, 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 yeah, that he did it for you? Yeah. Can I get some follow to just wave your hand and say, for me, for me, for me, for me. Oh, yeah. Oh, he did it for me.
Y'all come on and put your hands together like this. Y'all be easy with them guitars over there. This is a little song that Sister Mary wrote for me a little while ago, and it goes something like this.
After, after. Boy, you gonna make me get happy in here. Y'all excuse me for a minute. I'm gonna get my shout on right here. But wait a minute, I know I'm not the only one that's got a reason to praise him. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Let's praise him. Well, y'all ain't got to go home, so I'll see y'all later.
Well, you ought to live so God can use you. God can use you. So God can use you anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anytime.
Anytime.
You ought to live so
God can use
you. My God can use you.
give out praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes,
we
got down on our knees and talked to God. Let me tell you young folks something. Don't you never forget this. Ain't nobody gonna love you like mom and dad. You gonna miss mama when mama gone. I'm here today to tell you that mama ain't sick no more. God answered prayer. And those of you that's standing here tonight, those of you that's been in this recording session and ain't never said nothing all day long, I'm going to ask you this question with the Spirit. I'm not asking you because I'm on TV. I'm asking you this because I want to know, do you know like I know? When I ask this question, I just want you to tell me the truth. And I want you to shout when you say that you're feeling. Can anybody say that I need it right away?
5 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network. We've got more music coming your way right here, live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. My pleasure. I'm your host, the Anointed One, and what a time we've had thus far. Feel free to give us a call right here at 347-215-8049, or you can call us on our 24-hour hotline at 919-443-5994. Again, our 24-hour hotline is 919-443-5994. You're catching the wave live from the NFI studios. Our website, www.nfiradio.com, or you can join us on Facebook Live simply by going to NFI Radio Gospel Network. Again, on Facebook Live, it's NFI Radio Gospel Network.
There was a mother. She had a son. That had two sons. One of the boys was interested in himself. This son loved his mama so much. He said, "Mama, one day I'm going to grow up. I'm going to college. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to take care of your mama like you've been taking care of me." Oh! That other brother, he was no good. He stayed in trouble all the time. Mama had to always go to court and get that boy out of trouble. But I'm told tonight, those boys grew up. One went to college. That old no good son left home. That old mama whacked her fingers to the bone and sent that boy to school. She got on her knees and swept floors. She took in washing and ironing. I want my boy to be somebody. After about 8 long years, that son came back home. He said, "Mama, I'm a doctor now. I've got MD behind my name. I want you to meet my wife. I met her while I was in college. She's a school teacher, Mama. Yes, she is. They told that Mama, we want you to come and live with us and help us to raise our children." The years went on by. I wish I had a prayer. And the children grew up. One day the school teacher went to her husband. She said, "Honey, your mama's in the way now. She gets in the way around the house. She uses bad English. I don't want it to rub off on the little children. I think you ought to put in an old folk home." Somebody say, "Yeah." Let me tell you what he did. The doctor went to his poor mother. He said, "Mama, so me and the wife been talking. And she seems to feel now, Mama, that you're getting in the way around the house. We don't have anything else for you to do. You're using bad English. We don't want it to rub off on our children. I'm going to take you to an old folk home." Yes, I am. Somebody say, "Yeah."
Yeah.
"I got to take you to an old folk home." Well, then Mama turned around and went on back to her room. Tears running down her face. She began to pack up all of her clothes. While packing up all her clothes, the devil came and whispered in her ear, "That see the old lady? Look at all you've done for that boy. And now he gets back to throw you outdoors." The mother just gave a cry. Early the next morning, the son came and knocked on the door. He said, "Mama, get your stuff together. The limousine is waiting outside." Then Mama reached back and got a hat and coat. She walked out of that house. She got in that long, Mama just kept on crying. Every now and then the doctor looked back at Mama. He said, Mama, in your room out there, I wish y'all help me out here. You don't have a color television. You have nurses around the clock. You're going to have everything that you want. That mama just kept on crying. Yeah. Mama, I'm sorry I got to do this. Hallelujah. I gotta put you in an old folk home. The mother turned and said, with tears running down her face, she said, son, I could understand if I was sick and couldn't help myself. But there's nothing wrong with me. The doctor said, I know, but I got to put you in an old folk home. You understand me and my wife? About the time they got almost to the old folk home, that mama looked down the road. She saw an old ragged car coming. By the time the car got closer, that mama said, wait a minute, son. I believe I saw my boy going there. They stopped those cops. They got out, greeted one another with a kiss. There were no good sons, and mama, how you been doing? I was on my way home to see you. I was on my way to tell you, I don't do what I used to do. I stopped by church one night, and I got the Holy Ghost. And he turned around and saw his brother. He said, brother, where are you taking my mama? I gotta know where you're going with mama. And the doctor said, now wait a minute. Said, now after all, you've been gone. And I'm the one that's been here taking care of mama. Said, in case if mama didn't tell you, I'm a doctor now. I am somebody. And just in case if you want to know something else, we're tired of mama praying, moaning and groaning in a bedroom. Every time our friends come to the house, we're on our way to the old folk home. Yeah. They don't know good sons. Did you say you're taking mama to the old folk? He said, yes. He said, wait a minute. Mama, I don't live in a fine home. Listen, mama, I got one good room. You can have my bed, but come on and go home with me, mama. Yeah. Mama, I don't eat steak. I eat beans and greens, potatoes and tomatoes. Yes, I do. But if that's all right to you, you don't have to go to the old folks' home. Come on and go home with me, mama. Mama, I'm not riding in a long limousine. My car's not much good, but I got a good seat over there right by me. Come on and go home with me. That mama got a bag. Got all of the things. Got in that old ragged car. They rode down the road. And with tears in the boy's eye, that old no good son, I heard him say, God gave you your mama. Don't drive away. Come on, help me sing it. Thank you.
heaven tonight, let me see your hand. Why don't you reach over and get your name about a hand? And say, neighbor, I don't know what you're coming to do, but I'm coming to praise Jesus. And if you don't want to praise him, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
The anointed one.
We the Christian angels want to encourage you to just bring it to the altar. Who woke me up this morning and started me on my way? And who was the one that gave me a place to stay, yeah. And who was the one who protected me from my own sin? But I held a voice in my ear, said, daughter, I've got a calling on your life, yeah, yeah. When I want
Sometimes I think about what the end is going to be. But I want the church to know tonight I'm not going to turn around. I've been on this journey for 36 years. And I'm not tired yet. In fact, we're going to sing a song in a few minutes that said, I don't feel no ways tired. But every time somebody asks me, and say, what you going to do after 36 years? Where are you going from here? You know what I tell them? I believe I run on.
See what the end is going to be.
Believe I run. Hallelujah. Somebody waiting. Anybody got the Holy Ghost?
You're tuned into the Stellar Award-winning internet radio station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
Hold up. Wait just a minute.
The Anointed One.
On your radio. Yo.
Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired.
Showcase fellowship inspired.